Parashas Pinchas, the beginning of the parasha, talks about the reward that Pinchas receives for killing Zimri and Cosby. The Pasuk, Kapitel Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, V'hoysa loy ulezare achara bris kuhunas oilam. He received a bris kuhunas oilam. He was eichet to get the kuhuna. Tachas ashekine leleikov v'echap avnei Yisrael. He stood up, we know Pinchas, he stood up for the honor of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he was zeicha to be a Kohen. Now what happened? Aaron HaKohen became the Kohen Gadol. His children were Kohanim. Pinchas, is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen? Why isn't Pinchas a Kohen? Rashi says, V'hoi Saloi, Brisi Azois, Briskunas Oilam, Sheap Alpi, Shekvar Nosne Kuhuna Lazari Shel Aaron, even though previously the children of Aaron already Zaychet had to be the Kehanim, to the Kuhuna, Lenosne Aaron Levano Shenimshach Imoi, Ulusaldosam Sheyeludu Akahamishchosan. It only applied to Aaron and his children that would be born after he was Moshiach, after the Baruch Shalom made him the Kohen Gadol, Moshiach Rabbeinu made him the Kohen Gadol. Our Pinchas, Pinchas was born before Aaron became the Kohen Gadol. And Pinchas himself, there was no Mashiach. He was not Zeichet to the Kohen until now. He did not become a Kohen until he killed Zimri. So we have that someone to be a Kohen, he has to be, becomes a Kohen, unless it comes automatically through a person's father. So Aaron HaKohen someone was Moshechim, and therefore he became the Kohen Gadol, and all his children automatically that come out of him are Kohanim. But Pinchas was born before, so therefore he was not a Kohen.
So, what is this thing now with Zimri and what?
Zimri and Cosby, Pinchas, they were doing an Aveira together. Zimri was a Nasi and Cosby was a Goy. And they were Mizana together, they were doing things not proper, and Pinchas, for the sake of the Rebbeinu Shalom, for the honor of Hashem, he killed them. In Kanois, he was a Kanoi, and he killed them.
Both
of them. At the same time, the Gemara says that one was the Jewish one. And it says it was Nisim, unbelievable Nisim that happened. It had to be done in a certain fashion. Otherwise, there's a concept that someone coming to chase after you to kill you, you're allowed to kill them first. So technically, when he was coming after Zimri, Zimri could have killed Pinchas. He was risking his life. Aside from that, if Pinchas didn't do it in the exact proper way with exact kavanas, it's an issur d'oraisa to kill him. You know, I'll just kill someone. There's only certain parameters that you'd be allowed to kill. He was a yid, like you said. So it'd be certain parameters that he'd be allowed to kill him. He can't kill him. Only a very specific chazal go through details of all the nisim that happened that Pinchas did not do anything wrong and it was a completely righteous act. So the question is, why was Pinchas Zeicha specifically to the Kohanim? A reward you should get, fine. But why, what specifically the Kohanim? It says in the Ibn Ezra that the schar that Pinchas got was not just the Kohanim, but rather the Kohanim Gedolim came from Pinchas. We know that all the Kohanim in the first basement and the second basement Middash, the Kohen Gadol came from Pinchas, the lineage of Pinchas. Not the lineage of the other children of Aaron HaKohen, but from Pinchas. It says in the Klei Yoker, it says, why the Pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. It gives you, normally, when we want to identify someone, we identify them by their father. Why are we going back over here two generations? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Why don't you just call him Pinchas ben Elazar? So Rashi asks the question right away, and Rashi says, "Look, Shahayu Ashvatim Mevazim." I say, "The Shiftei Ka were making fun of him. The other people, not the Shiftei Ka directly. The Klal Yisrael were making fun of him." And Isem ben Puti Zeh Shepitim Avi Imay Agalim Avodas Alilim. His father, Pinchas ben Elazar married the daughter of Yisrael. Yisrael was arguing about the Zohar at one point. So they're making fun of him, saying, look, oh, we have this guy Pinchas. He's a big kanoi for Hashem. Hello, look where he comes from. Look who he married into. There's no great shakes over here. Who is he? Vaharag Nasi Shaven Yisrael, and he had the audacity to go and kill. Now, Zimri wasn't a Yid. Zimri was a Nazi of Klal Yisrael. So therefore the Torah comes to tell us, he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Rashi, that he came to tell us, you should know, he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. He has good yichas. Even though Elazar maybe they can try to complain about, but he comes from good stock. The Kliyaka says that the reason why the Torah says, specifically tells us that he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyin, he says Aaron also did something wrong on some level. We know that Aaron HaKoyin made the eagle. Chor said, I'm not making the eagle. They killed Chor. Aaron said, I'm going to make the eagle. And Aaron was the one who ultimately made the eagle. So, you can go fight the Rashi, it doesn't seem to really follow through. So the reason why the Torah says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, because you want to give him good yichas, but Aaron made the eagle. Elazar married into a family of a deserve, but Aaron made the eagle. So why is that necessarily? Maybe we should go back one more generation. Maybe the pastor said Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron ben Amram. Amram was a tzaddik. We don't know Amram. We don't know of any such stories that, like this. So what's pshat? So Kiyaka says Meridik. Says you should know that Pinchas, when he did his act, he knew that they would make fun of him. He knew that they would say, oh, look at him. He comes from the mother. He comes from Aaron. Who are you? But you know what? He didn't care. He didn't care what they were going to say, that he was the son of Elazar. He didn't care what they were going to say, that the grandson of Aaron HaKohen who made an eagle. He all did it l'shem Shemayim. Nothing else mattered. There was one thing that mattered, and that was doing what he felt was the Ratzon of Hashem, and that's what he did. The Meshech Chachma says that when he killed Zimri, there were two facts that happened. There were two things that he accomplished. One, his kanoyis, his zealousness of l'chvod Shemayim, of kavod Shemayim, and secondly, was he demonstrated as a havas Hashem. How so? He says, Pinchas was a roidif, he was running after Zimri. As I said before, because he was running after Zimri, Zimri had the right to kill him. He didn't care. He risked his life for Kavod Shemayim. Where was the Ahavas Hashem? He says, Lamaisa, he was risking his Olam Haba. Because as I said before, if he wouldn't have done it perfectly in every single aspect, he would have lost his Olam Haba. But he didn't care. He was willing to risk his Olam Haba. Let's assume his life is the first part. But now, let's assume he would have killed Zimri and Zimri would not have killed him. So his life is okay. But would have lost his Olam Haba by killing Zimri. Because if he didn't do it right, then it was an Aveira to kill Zimri. It's a terrible Aveira. To kill another Yid is a terrible Aveira. He was willing to risk his Olam Haba. And he accomplished both of these acts. And he explains, that's why it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Elazar, the Gemara, there's a Yerushalmi that says that after he was Nifter Aaron HaKohen, it says Anane Kavod left. There's no more Anane Kavod. The clouds that protected Klal Yisrael when they were in the Midbar, it left. It came back because of Moshe, but initially it left when Aaron was Nifter. And the Klal Yisrael got up and started doing Averus. So no more Anane Kavod, maybe Aaron Shalom is not here, and they started doing Averus. Elazar got up and he says, I'm not doing it. We're going to stop it right here. There's no Averus. Aaron Shalom is still here. There's still Aaron Shalom in the world. No Averus. We're not doing that. That, he says, that was one prat. And he says that Aaron HaKohen, what did he do? He says, so Elazar was willing to risk his life at that point. That was the Kavod Shemayim. For Kavod Shemayim, he stood up and said, I don't care, I'm not scared of anybody. He technically was risking his life, but he's not scared. Kavod Shemayim, we're not doing it there. Aaron HaKohen, what did Aaron HaKohen do? Chor got killed. They went to Aaron, are you going to make the eagle? What did Aaron say? What was his cheshbon? He said he's going to do it, but what was his cheshbon? He says, if I don't make it, they're going to kill me. And they're going to make the eagle immediately. He says, I'm ready to risk my Olam Haba, that I shouldn't receive Olam Haba, and I will make the Egel, because he postponed it. He made him, he says, I'm going to make it, but wait till the next day. Wait till the next morning. He was ready to risk his whole Olam Haba for the sake of Kavod Shemayim.
Right.
And that's why it says, Pinchas ben Alozer ben Aaron HaKohen, the midah of Kavod Shemayim, of the guf, and the midah of the Kavod Shemayim, of Ahavas Hashem, willing to risk even your Olam Haba. That's how much maybe I don't have such Ahavas Hashem per se, but I want Olam Haba. I know it's a good thing, so I want Olam Haba. I don't, you know.
So Pinchas was risking his Olam Haba?
Pinchas was risking his Olam Haba, because if he would have killed Zimri in a not proper way in every aspect, he would have been not the
evil. So what was the proper way to kill?
That's what the Gemara talks about. There's many different ways. It had to be in one shot. There's a whole bunch of different things. He had them both on the sword at the same time. It's a whole long parashah.
One other thing of that, Aaron, when you said that he postponed it to the morning, what was the purpose in postponing it? That he thought maybe something would happen before then?
It's an excellent question. Actually, the Ben Ish Chai explains that Pinchas had a good cheshbon, and Pinchas's cheshbon was that he knew that Moshe Ben was coming down the next day. He wanted to postpone until the next morning, and if it were postponed until the next morning, Moshe would have come, there would have been no Egel. The only problem is that the Erev Rav that came along with Klai Yisrael, they got up first thing in the morning before, but he came right before the morning came, they already did it. The rest of Klai Yisrael didn't do it, and then Moshe Rabbeinu came down. So if they would have, he almost made it, Aaron HaKohen almost accomplished. That's not what they were saying over here, the Meshech Chochma, the Ben Ish Chai says this. But he says that he was actually trying to completely postpone it, and then Moshe would come down. Yes, that was his goal. It didn't work out because the Erev Rav got up early and were over the eagle. But that was his plan. He had a good chesed according to the Ben Ish Chai, but that's not what the Meshech Chochma is saying here. Stating the Kol Rav from Moshe Feinstein, he says that Aaron was eicher to the kahuna because he was oyer shalom v'roidev shalom. Aaron was the pinnacle of an oyer shalom v'roidev shalom. He loved peace and he ran after peace. It says that he went amongst Klal Yisrael and he was constantly trying to create more peace. He says that Pinchas over here, Gamkin, he also loved oyer shalom and he was a roidev shalom. Over here, you would think, man, it doesn't look like Pinchas is oyer shalom here. He didn't create peace here. He killed people. No, he created peace between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. See, Pinchas was an Oyev Shalom. And he didn't want to do this except that it was for Kavod Shemayim. And therefore, the same way Aaron was an Oyev Shalom and was Eicher to the Kahuna, so too Pinchas. He also loved peace. Sometimes peace means killing, believe it or not. He had to kill Zimri and Cosby to create peace between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. Kerem says another word. And he says, then it says, before, when it says that he killed him, it doesn't say who Zimri was. It says at the end of the parashas Balak, "Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Hakohen v'yokam itay chayiv yigach ram beyada." He took his sword in his hand. "Vayom v'acha ish Yisrael alakuba v'yitkor shneim." Ish Yisrael doesn't say who. Now we talk the parashas Pinchas. It tells us that he killed a shame ish Yisrael hamuka asher hukas ad midyanis Zimri ben Salu. Well, nasi beisav l'shimani. He was the nasi of Shimon. Why did he wait? Why did he wait till here to identify who Zimri ben Salu was? So he says that Pasuk would have said over here before when he actually did the killing that Zimri ben Salu was a nasi of Shevet Shimon, it could have had a bad effect on a negative effect on Klal Yisrael, on people that, wow, look, he's killing a nasi is not a good thing in Klal Yisrael. Look, they see him, they're getting killed. That's not a good thing. Now, when Pinchas did an act l'shem Shemayim, it says that even though he was a Nasi of Shevet Shimon, even though he was important, and even though he was, again, it's the same concept of risking his life for Kavod Shemayim and Na'avas Hashem, he nonetheless was willing to do it. And that's why it only identifies him now. It says in the Chaim HaSanach, he quotes a Vidal HaTzerfasi, that a Talmud Chacham ben a Talmud Chacham ben a Talmud Chacham, if you have three generations, then forever, it is kaim forever. Something is kaim forever. It says someone learns, if you have Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Torah stays with you forever. If it's something that gets passed down for three generations. The reason why it says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, is that the kahuna is going to stay with them forever. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. That's forever and ever, the kahuna is going to stay with Aaron, Pinchas, and their descendants. It says in the Ur HaChaim HaKodesh, that Bekaleis Knossi Besoichon. He quelled the Rebbeinu Shalom's anger. Bekaleis Knossi Besoichon. Within them, amongst Klal Yisrael. What is the point in telling us Besoichon? So he explains that there's three things to know. He was Moser his nefesh, like we said. He was Moser his Olam Haba, as we said. And he says he did it Barabbam. He did it in front of everybody. Because his whole point was to be Kadashim Shemayim. He wasn't doing it for covet. He wasn't doing it for honor. He did it B'Seichem. So everyone in Klal Yisrael should see that he was ready to risk his Olam Haba. He was ready to risk his life all for covet Shemayim.
Were there any others that were doing the same thing, or was he the only?
Well, he was the Nasi. There was a Magefa that a lot of in Klal Yisrael got killed out because he wasn't the only one. He was the Nasi, and he was doing it publicly.
And he was the Nasi.
There was a Magefa. There was a plague that happened, and there are thousands died out. He had Mason by Magefa above the Esamol of 24,000. They compare it to
Akiva, but a similar thing.
Yes. So now we can explain why Pinchas specifically got the Kahuna. Sometimes we don't realize what's good for us, what's not good for us. Think about it. The Gemara tells us that if a Kohen kills, he's puzzled for that Veda. He's no longer allowed to do that Veda. Had Pinchas been a Kohen, and he would have done this act, this unbelievable act of killing Zimri and Cosby, he would have been puzzled for that Vaida. He would have been a Kayan, but he would have been puzzled for that Vaida. So now what happens? He wasn't a Kayan. He wasn't Zaychad to be a Kayan until now. And this very act of killing Zimri and Cosby was what gave him the right, what made him into, gave him the Brisi Shalom, the Bris Shalom of having, becoming a Kayan. And now he was, because now he never killed as a Kayan, he killed before he was a Kayan. Now he was able to do the, he became a Kayan, and he was able to do the Avodah. So exactly what we would have thought maybe is bad is really good. So we see that that Pinchas
is always the opposite. The inheritance.
Exactly, and that's the answer. The answer to the question. The question was, why was specifically Zeichet the Kahuna? He didn't get the Kahuna. But sometimes you look at Kayach. Kayach complained. Kayach went and complained. Why am I not getting this? Why is Moshe? Pinchas didn't complain. He's not a Kayan. He didn't get the Kahuna. No complaints. No complaints. And because he didn't complain, this was the best thing for him. And it was in this that he was ready to actually get the Kahuna later on. A little bit later in the parasha, Pasuk says, Vayemer Hashem Moshe kach l'chotz Yeshua b'nu asher ish asher ruah al-boi v'smachta yad cholah v'amata oishel v'nei Elazar ha-koyim v'nei kol eida. Yeshua, Moshe man took Yeshua, took him in front of Elazar ha-koyim and the entire congregation, entire Klal Yisrael, the eida, v'tzigis oishel v'neihem. Yeshua is becoming the next leader in Klal Yisrael. Moshe b'nu after he's going to die, Yeshua is taking over. The question is what does it mean that he did it with Nei Kol Ha'eda? Why did it have to be in front of Kol Ha'eda? And it says, V'tzivisa oisai le'ein nehem, to their eyes. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Kapitel Chavzayim, Pasuk Yutez, V'tzivisa al Yisrael, Da'ash et al-chinan him, sarvon him, Amenash et al-kabal lecha. He says, you should know, Klal Yisrael, they're complainers. Watch out for Klal Yisrael. And nonetheless, you should accept on yourself, Yeshua should accept upon himself to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So Rashi says, Ramban says, he says, he doesn't understand this shot. He says that you're going to tell Yeshua, the new leader, in front of Klal Yisrael that they're not so good, Klal Yisrael? He says, what are you accomplishing? You think that Klal Yisrael and therefore are going to respect Yeshua? I mean, it's not creating any goodwill. Why would you do that? He doesn't understand it. The Ramban says that it just means that le'inehem, that he came in front of them, that they should see, that they should realize that Yeshua is the one who's going to be their king and their judge, and that they should have emunah in Yeshua the same way they had emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu, and they should have emunah in Yeshua that he's going to be the new leader. It says in the Yetav Lev, he even says, "Kach l'chos Yeshua benun, v'tzivisa eisanen l'man yishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael." It says, what does emuna mean? What does it mean to have emuna? Someone has emuna. What does it mean? The pasuk Shemoyis Kapitel Yidal Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, "Vayar Yisrael Hayod Hakadoyla Asher Os Hashem Mitzrayim Vayiram Es Hashem Vayeminu BaHashem Uv Moshe Avdei." Klal Yisrael saw and they had emuna. He says, what do you mean they saw that emunah? If I see something with my own eyes, I see something happen, that's not emunah. I know it happened. Emunah means to believe something that I can't see, that I don't know. I have faith in you. You tell me something, I don't know it, I didn't see it, but I have emunah in you. I have emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't see everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does, but I have emunah in him. So what does it mean? Vayaris Hashem, the Vayar Yisrael, they saw and they had emunah. It doesn't seem to go together. He says that when they saw the capabilities of the Ribbono Shel Olam, they realized, and not only could the Ribbono Shel Olam do what they saw, but he had, there's no parameters. He can accomplish anything. So they believed what they saw, they knew. And everything else they had emunah. So he says, and it says over here, Laman Yishmu Kol Nasmei Yisrael, that he wanted it to be that Klal Yisrael should have the same emunah in Yeshua. You should know, La'einehem, even though it's through their eyes, they should see now, this is Yeshua, but you should know, that the same way you have to have emunah in Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have to have emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu, you should know that it's more than meets the eye. Have emunah that whatever you see, and you're going to see good things, Yeshua is much greater than that. It says in the Kol Ram, it says, Batsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu once asked the Ribbono Shel Olam that there should be a new leader. And Pasuk says, Asher Yesi Lefneim Asher Yobu Lefneim Asher Yetzi Yem Asher Yivim Asiyah Das Hashem Katsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. He says he should be a worthy leader. And the Pasuk ends, and the Loisiyah Das Hashem Katsoin Asher Ein Lohem Roya. And Klal Yisrael shouldn't be a tzoyin, sheep that doesn't have a shepherd, she'ein lahem roya. That sounds like, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu makes sound like he needs someone of a high caliber. And the pasuk ends, but Klal Yisrael, they shouldn't be like a sheep without a leader, without a shepherd. That means take anybody. What does Moshe want? Does he want someone of a high caliber, or just they shouldn't be leaderless, so to say? So the Kol Ram explains that it's not pshat that they should be leaderless, but rather it's punctual carrot. When someone is a roya, he's a shepherd. He's getting paid. Does he care about the sheep? He doesn't care about the sheep. He cares about the sheep as much as his interest. If all of a sudden you find out that he's not getting paid, he'd say, forget it. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's not watching the sheep. He's doing it as long as he's getting paid. So when the pasuk says, "Katzoyin Hashem Lahem Roya," they should be like sheep, Hashem Lahem Roya, and he should still want it, that it doesn't matter. They shouldn't be like sheep without a roya. They should have someone who doesn't care about himself. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about getting paid. He's willing to do it no matter what. And that's what he wanted in the positive and the tell you, Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun is this person. He is the one that he's going to, all he cares about is Klal Yisrael. He doesn't care about himself. He doesn't take his own interests. That's what a true leader of Klal Yisrael only cares about Klal Yisrael. It says in their keach, and it says in the pasuk Vayami Dehu, that the Yeshua, that he was the one that was going to take over. And the pasuk says, he placed him, he stood him in front of Klal Yisrael as he is the new leader. It's missing a yud. He says, why is it missing a yud? Because that yud represents Balgaivan, and Yeshua was not a Balgaivan. Rabbeinu Yoel says that the reason why it's missing a yud is because he ran away from covet. He didn't even want it. But Yamidehu, they stood him up there against his will. He didn't want the covet. Yeshua was running away from covet. He didn't want covet. Everything was about what Klal Yisrael, what the needs of Klal Yisrael, and what they needed. That's all he wanted. So the pshat is when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu placed Yeshua le'enei in front of their eyes. What's pshat Rashi? The pshat is that if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show Yeshua, look at Klal Yisrael. You need to see their faults. They're not perfect, but you have to accept it and say, no matter what I see, I'm not judging them. I'm not a big shot. I'm not important. It's about them. It's how I'm going to help them, and I'm going to make them better. And that's what means le'enei. That the Klal Yisrael should see that Yeshua is accepting them for what they are, and Yeshua should accept them for what they are, because that's all that matters. And moon is something that people, we have to have a pile. You know, there's a story, Brooklyn, and you know, you're looking for a parking spot. A fellow was looking for a parking spot. He's driving around and around and around and around the same block 100 times, can't find the spot. He says, God, please help me find the spot. All of a sudden, 10 seconds later, someone pulls out, he gets a spot. Says, forget it, God, I got a spot. No, thank you. I'm good. there are times that Rabbeinu Shalom, he davened him and he got it, but he didn't see it Rabbeinu Shalom. Certain times you have to, it's mamash apparel, you could see it, but we choose to hide our faces from it. We have to realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is always hearing the Rabbeinu Shalom. Again, next week, Mi'at Shem, Thursday night at 10 o'clock in the Nice Eid Beis Medrash on 29 Parker. Monday and Wednesday is the Shir at 9 o'clock. Gemara, followed by Chumash, followed by Ma'ariv at 9:45. Have a good Shabbos.